This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
The smallest, quietest, and the most short-lived of your good deeds or sins today will be exhibited before you on the day of reckoning in the starkest of detail. Many will express utter shock at the precision of their account, as their eyes fall upon doings of theirs that they had completely forgotten about. But their shock will be of no use because they were told well in advance of their reckoning, and they were told that they have a Lord, Allah, and one of His names was Al-Latif. In one of the most beautiful conversations ever recorded between a father and his son, Luqman said to his son, Ya Bunay, O my son, innaha in taku mithqala habbatin min khardan. If even there was a deed the weight of a mustard seed, fatakun fi sakhratin aw fi samawati aw fi al-ardi, be it hidden in a rock or in the heavens or somewhere on the earth, yati biha Allah. Allah Almighty will bring it. Allah will bring it forth on the day of judgment. Inna Allah latifun khabir, because Allah is latif, He is subtle, and He is khabir, He is all aware. What is a mustard seed in the palm of a person? What is the palm of a person in comparison to a room? And what is that room in comparison to the house? What is that house in comparison to its city? And that city in comparison to its country? And what is that country in comparison to the planet? And what is that planet in comparison to the seemingly endless universe? And despite all of that, this mustard seed of a good deed or sin can and will be brought forth by Al-Latif on the day of reckoning. When you hear the name Al-Latif, I want you to think about two things: Allah's knowledge of the minutest of matters and the conveyance of His kindness in the most discreet of ways. The two key words here were minutest when speaking about His knowledge and discreet when speaking about His kindness. Coming to grips with this brings a complete overhaul in your worldview. The way you see life as a whole opens up a brand new line of thinking for yourself, as you now begin to see each and every event of life through the lens of this majestic name of Allah, Al-Latif. You realize that the name Al-Latif has always been connected to every cell in your body, mixed with every drop of your blood, written in your DNA, interwoven with every event in life that somehow involved you, or those events that did not. The more you think about it, the more you're baffled. But why wonder? When you'd read in the Quran, Allahu latifun bi'ibadihi, Allah is most subtle towards His servants. Let me share with you a few examples to bring the meaning a little bit closer to home. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-latif intended to release Prophet Yusuf from prison, He didn't decree a seismic earthquake. He didn't, for example, send a thunderbolt that shattered the walls of the prison. Instead, His planning was far more subtle. A discreet dream crept through the darkness of night, silently entering the bedroom of the king, and a dream that would initiate a complex series of events that ended with the release of Prophet Yusuf. This is the work of Allah Al-Latif, Allahu Akbar. When Al-Latif also intended to return Prophet Musa to the arms of his mother, He didn't deck the dams of the River Nile and drown the Pharaoh and his men. He didn't decree a violent coup that would save Prophet Musa from the oppressors. No, instead, Allah's plan was far more subtle. Baby Musa was simply inspired to reject the milk of every woman who attempted to breastfeed him. And therefore, this pushed the guards of the Pharaoh, the very same men whose hands were stained with other children's blood, they would then return Prophet Musa as a child back to the arms of his mother, and they would pay her a stipend, a wage, to breastfeed her own son within the comfort of her own home. Who decreed those events? Al-Latif. When Al-Latif intended to put an end to the siege that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his tribe had endured at the hands of the pagans, and it was a few years, he didn't send a violent storm to take them away. He didn't cause the nearby mountains of Mecca to fall upon the perpetrators. No, instead, Al-Latif's plan was infinitely more subtle. Tiny mites were sent to eat the written agreement, and they tore it to shreds, which subsequently ended the entire boycott. And let me bring these examples to you as well. Think about that time when, during your sleep, a gentle breeze was sent your way that caused your window to make a sound that woke you up. Or your toddler cries at the perfect time. Or you get an intense urge to drink water in the nick of time for salah, the prayer that you were about to miss. You wake up, you look at the clock, and moments after this, you're bowing and prostrating, and mashallah, you'd successfully prayed on time. Who was the one who woke you up in this subtle way? That was Allah Al-Latif. Think about that time when you'd parked your car momentarily, you took it to one side and you reached out to the glove compartment to take something, when a terrifying accident unfolds inches away from your bonnet. At the very site where your car was headed, had you not parked up a few moments before? Who was the one who instilled within you that urgent need to reach out to your glove compartment at that particular moment in time? That was Allah Al-Latif, the most subtle. Think about the sheer number of times you were on the verge of sinning when you were interrupted by a passerby, or by a reminder that appeared on your phone, or a pain that you felt. Who was the one who subtly disturbed your self-destructive plans for that evening? Who did that? That was Allah Al-Latif. Don't mistake it for a coincidence. Think about the countless times you walked into your room at the very second where your child was on the verge of rolling off the bed. Your baby. You ask yourself, SubhanAllah, how did that happen? And the answer is the same as all of the answers I gave you earlier. Your Lord is Al-Latif. Think about Allah and how He's made the doing of good deeds inherently pleasing to the soul. He beautified them to the eye and to the heart of the doer to make them easier for you to do them. And think about how Allah has made sins inherently dark and laden with guilt and regret in order to deter the perpetrator from continuing upon them. How latif, subtle has Allah been to man. Think about that time in your life when you felt gripped by a heart-wrenching anxiety or a family breakdown, a situation that snapped all sleep from your eyes, or a depressive state of plummeting iman. Then the perfect lecture, the perfect video, the perfect article, or the perfect uplifting phone call comes your way. So perfect that it has you doubting whether someone had maybe given away your secret. It was too much of a so-called coincidence. Then you realize that such subtle works could only be the works of Allah Al-Latif subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. His subtlety appears in every gust of wind that blows, every morsel of food that is swallowed, every batting of the eyelid, every breath of air that is inhaled, every subtle alternation of the seasons, every subtle merging of the day into the night and night into the day. It's so subtle. Every subtle growth of a child's perfect growth in milestones relative to the child's body. Every subtle growth of each limb relative to the growth of other limbs. Every subtle moment of perfect timing that is wrongly labeled a coincidence. Every subtle bodily reflex. In the countless circumstances that have been perfectly designed for our welfare, every second of the day, who put all of that in place but Allah Al-Latif? So be attentive to those events and let each one of them trigger a new powerful growth for the love of Allah, Al-Latif. Whenever you see clouds forming, rain falling, crops subsequently growing, announce to those around you that look at the effects of Al-Latif upon us. Should he not be loved? أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً فَتُصْبِحُ الْأَرْضُ مُخْضَرَّةً Allah said, do you not see that Allah has sent down rain from the sky? And the earth then becomes green. Look at how the verse is concluded. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ Indeed, Allah is latif and acquainted. That is an effect of His lutf, His subtlety upon creation. Keep your eyes peeled for His signs. Whenever you, for example, find your provisions, your rizq coming your way, your monthly salary, an unexpected meal that you have that evening, any unanticipated goodness that crosses paths with you, allow your heart to ask the question, these are the effects of Al-Latif upon me, should he not be loved? Allahu latifun bi'ibadihi yarzuqu man yasha. Allah is subtle with His servants. He provides for whom He wills. His provision of rizq for you is a sign of His subtlety. Do you see it? Whenever you find yourself harboring ill thoughts towards Allah for decreeing something in your life that discomforts you, reassure your soul by telling it that so subtle is His kindness towards me that I am unable to perceive it at present, but soon enough I will. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ Allah said, does He not know what He created? وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ Whilst He is the subtle, the latif, and the all-aware, subhanAllah. Trust Him. For those who enjoy a life of companionship with this name, traveling through life under its shade, every event of life is an opportunity to remember Al-Latif. Every event of life is an opportunity to refresh that love for Him. And every event is an opportunity to renew your submission to His every decree, whether it makes sense at that time or it doesn't. This is what allows hearts to rest. When you trust that the plan of your life is designed and managed by one who is immensely subtle and immensely kind, a Lord who may cure you through illness and may enrich you through poverty and may give you by taking away from you. It's only when these meanings truly settle in one's heart that one begins to experience the sweetest spiritual fruit, which is called peace with the decrees of Allah. Because Allah is subtle and man is rash, and Allah knows and man does not. I love to demonstrate this using a case study from the life of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Imagine if the average person had access to edit the script of the story of Prophet Yusuf before it unfolded. So you could read it and you could make the changes. I think that many people would have made a few changes to that script. So they would read that his brothers would be jealous of him. Surely that would be edited. And his brothers would conspire to kill him and throw him in a well and separate him from his family. Some people would say that's a prophet of God. He doesn't have to experience all of this. So let's edit this as well from the script. And then, of course, he was sold as a slave and he was put to labor and endured seduction. So people would say, there's no need for that. Surely we can edit this as well. And then he would be imprisoned for several years. Someone would say, surely this is a waste of time in the life of a prophet who's got a divine message to convey. Let's edit this as well. And then you read his friend who was released from the prison early forgot to mention the request of Prophet Yusuf to make mention of him to the authorities for his release. So he remained in prison for a few more years. And surely this is another unnecessary time wasted in the life of a prophet. We would edit this as well. But here's the catch. Had these edits been made, would Prophet Yusuf have ended up where he did? And would the story have ended in such a beautiful way, in the way that it did? Well, if the brothers of Prophet Yusuf didn't become jealous of him, they may not have conspired to kill him. Had they not conspired to kill him, they may not have thrown him in the well. Had they not thrown him in the well, he may not have been picked up by the caravan. And had that not happened, he may not have been sold as a slave. Had that not happened, he may not have found his way to Egypt. Had that not happened, he may not have been seduced by the wife of the ruler. Had that not happened, he may not have been thrown into a prison cell. Had that not happened, and had his friend not forgotten to put in a good word for him, Prophet Yusuf's knowledge and ability to interpret dreams may not have been discovered. And had that not happened, he may not have met the ruler. And had that not happened, he may not have become the treasurer of Egypt. And had that not happened, he may not have been able to rescue Egypt from the impending famine and would not have been reunited with his mother and father and brothers, nor would he have been able to give them refuge at their hour of need. Hikmatun baligha, subhanallah. In our eyes, what Prophet Yusuf went through in his early years is the worst thing that could happen to a human being, let alone a prophet. But in the eyes of Allah, the matter was different, completely different. Prophet Yusuf was being nurtured by Allah. He was being prepared for leadership in every phase of his life. And it was pushing him towards his eventual position of authority to be of benefit to his family and nation. That's what Prophet Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam, said to the people around him when he was commenting on his own story towards the end of the story. He said, as Allah said, وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, he raised his parents upon the throne and they bowed to him in prostration. And he said, Dad, Father, this is the explanation of my previous dream. My Lord has made it a reality. And he was so good to me when he took me out of prison and brought you here from Bedouin life after Shaytan had sown enmity between me and my brothers. And then he said, listen, إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ, my Lord is Latif to whom He wills. Allahu Akbar. My Lord is Latif. So thank you, Allah, for not affording anyone the opportunity to edit the script of Prophet Yusuf. We're rash, and Allah is Latif. You see, your small boat may be able to take you to the edge of an ocean, but it can't sail through it. Likewise, your mind may take you to the fact that Allah exists and that He is one, but never will it be able to fully encompass His wisdom and endless subtleties upon you. So your duty is just to place your burdens at the doorstep of Allah by packaging your heartfelt dua with the statement of, O Latif, Ya Latif. And as for the releasing of these burdens and the diffusing of their anxiety, the restoration of bliss, that's on someone else. So praise be to the one who introduced to us His majestic name Al-Latif, and congratulations to those who are inspired to use it in their dua.